May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo. Great. And Eric, I don't mention their last names. We'll explain it again during the show.
Trisha, punished. Of course, this hour is brought to you by Alexander's Auto Repair. Go to Alexander's All Care Auto Repair at 3310 East Thomas Road here in Phoenix. Give them a call, 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781. Be sure to check them out online,
alexandersautorepair.com. You'll need his services after you do all that driving this weekend.
Absolutely.
For 4th of July and a sports day. Especially, it's hot out there, and you're going to want to make sure your car's working so you can go see Max, which I reviewed on last week's show. Bringing us into this segment is Blake Shelton singing Forever Young from the movie Max. Plays during the end credits of the movie. I gave it a huge thumbs up. I absolutely loved it. It's the perfect movie for your holiday viewing. You know, fun and just education and all that. It's a great movie. And I love the movie so much. I love Max so much that I said we need to know more about this topic. So, now we have a very special guest, retired special warfare operator Jimmy Hatch with Spike's K9 Fund. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Jimmy.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. This is a great opportunity, and I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. We're, you know, well, and also happy 4th of July.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, let's have you seen Max, the movie?
I have, yep.
And what were your thoughts? Would you agree with me that it was a great film?
Well, you just have to know that my perspective is going to be quite a bit different than yours. And, having been in gunfights with dogs and having things blown up and get dogs killed and that kind of stuff, it was different for me. I do believe it's a good family movie. It's entertaining. And they made the movie for that. They didn't make it for me. So I do think it'll be a good movie. And I think there are some really key points in it that can be beneficial for people who don't really understand how those things work, and so I think there's some good for sure. Yeah.
Great, and yeah, I know that it's more of a family film. I think a little more of a family film than I was expecting. I thought that there might have been a little bit more stuff on the battlefield, but as far as the battlefield scenes in the beginning of the film, was that at all believable from your perspective?
Well, you know, I think what's important is that, people can see that the dog was actually in a position, or they will see that the dog is obviously in an unenviable position. Mm-hmm. And it's important that people understand that dogs are what we call a force multiplier. They can do the jobs of a lot of other people because of their senses. And so I think with that in mind, I think you can certainly understand exactly how dangerous, the dogs live while they're out working with us. The uniforms and all that kind of stuff were standard stuff, and it was good. I don't know, I certainly don't want to talk about tactics and the things that they actually did in the film, because whether or not those are accurate, I don't think the general public needs to know, and certainly the people that would want to harm the general public don't need to know that either. So
right.
It was interesting. It was definitely interesting.
Right, and I do want to preface this segment by saying that, if there is anything, because I know that we had some conversations offline on the internet through email, that if there is anything that we ask that you feel uncomfortable answering or that you think that might be inappropriate, please don't hesitate to let us know. I think that our listeners will understand that we do have to make sure that certain secrets remain secret, and that's just part of everything, right?
Yep, for sure.
So do not hesitate to let us know. But tell us a little bit about your Spike's K9 Fund.
Yeah, so I started this organization kind of, I didn't really get what I was getting into when I started it, but a few years, I was wounded in 2009, and I couldn't move the way that I used to be able to move. I was injured, my leg was injured, and a bullet went through my femur, and it rendered me a little bit slower than I'd been previously. So at any rate, I felt like I needed a dog, because most of the combat I saw, I was near or with a dog, and I felt like I'd feel better about life in general if I had a dog. So a friend of mine, one of the canine sergeants in a city in the Midwest, had a dog that had cancer and could no longer work. And he said, yeah, we have this really great dog. He's got a lot of experience. He's done a lot of things, and he may die next week, and he may live 5 years. And you know, so last week I took him for another cancer surgery. He survived the chemo and he's still with us. It's great. He's great. And so I felt really good about not only, of course, selfishly having a dog around me that I could watch and I knew his senses were better than mine, but I could help, you know, take care of him, and he'd certainly earned it. So fast forward last winter, right before Christmas, there was I live in Virginia, and there was a canine who had developed an issue with his breathing, and it was a police canine in my town. And when the police officer took the dog, who, by the way, was a very proven dog, he'd bitten armed robbery suspects, found people hiding in old ladies' houses and things like that. He was certainly earning his dog biscuits. The veterinarian that the city contracted with said, yeah, you know, I don't think we can fix that. So the police officer, of course, was a bit upset about that. And he did some research on his own and he found a university not far from where we live that has a very good veterinary program. And they said, oh, heck yeah, we can fix it. So when I heard that and then I found out how much it costs, and we all know that police don't make a great amount of money, I said, you know what, I'm gonna figure something out. So I took a picture of me and my first dog. His name was Spike. That's Spike's Canine Fund. And I got on Photoshop and I got some help, and I made it into a logo, and I started a booster campaign, and I sold sweatshirts and t-shirts and made enough money to pay for the dog's surgery. So after that, it just kind of took off.
That's amazing.
So I pay for medical gear. I pay for medical procedures that won't be covered by the town that the dog serves. And that's actually kind of shockingly common. I was not aware of how many dogs don't get the medical treatment they need because the city doesn't value them in the way that I feel they should. I also buy equipment to help dogs and their police partners or search and rescue partners to help them be more effective and to keep them and their I call them their pilot, you know, the dog pilot, keep them safer. Sometimes there's the police and the search and rescue people are going into some pretty bad situations, and the dog doesn't really have the proper equipment. And fortunately, I was involved with a group of military people where we had good resources, and so I know what's good equipment.
Now,
so I can help out with that, too. And then, you know, finally, the last part of my mission, and I do consider it my mission, is I want to build a kennel. There are dogs that cannot, and, you know, it's funny because the Canine Max movie kind of addresses that a little bit. There are dogs that just have a difficult time going back into living in a family-type situation because of the things that they've experienced, not unlike their human counterparts. So, you know, long-term goal is to build a kennel, and I've actually had an architectural firm here close to us, pro bono, design it. Beautiful. It's awesome. I got a floor plan. It's all worked out. So I'm working on that too.
Now, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. You know, you mentioned that, you know, the cities or whatever don't seem to value the dogs the way perhaps that you would like to see. Are you working with cities to have a budget for this purpose and to really value dogs that obviously have saved lives and created all sorts of benefits to police and military? Is that part of your mission too, is to get politically involved and get the city to...
Well, you know, yeah, I got to be honest with you, man. I don't, maybe I'm cynical, but I think that kind of a grassroots movement will do more than trying to deal with city councils. And, you know, if you know, I honestly just believe that the free market will take care of it quicker.
Gotcha.
And it's a frustrating thing. One of the people on the board of my foundation is a police officer here in the town that I live in. And he's through him, I've learned how things work. And I'm better off just going out with a pan and asking people for money, in my opinion. Yeah.
No, I hear you. I mean, you look at the political system, it needs some fixing. There's no question about it. But I just feel bad for, you know, military, firefighters, police. I mean, they all seem to get the short end of the stick, and they're the ones that save lives. And I just don't understand that. They should have way more benefits. They should have way more pay. They should be well more, you know, respected. And I just don't get it. It's a sad statement of society.
Well, you know, I guess what I would say is that I feel like in my own personal experiences with the military, you know, the commitments that were made to me when I joined the military were followed through on. And at times it was difficult because of the bureaucracy involved. And that's obviously true of the VA, which I deal with now. And of course, you and Phoenix are very familiar with the problems with the VA. So, you know, it's a big organization and that is sometimes difficult. It's not very personal. But truthfully, I feel as though, you know, the unit that I came from and the community, military community that I came from, you know, I was treated very well. Conversely, I agree with you completely when it comes to the police, first responders in general, you know, the firefighters, the emergency medical people, and, you know, the police, of course. I don't really get it either. You know, I municipalities have a budget, they have taxes, they have roads to fix, they have things to do, and, you know, things go sideways. The people they rely on to help, you know, the average citizen, they're not taken care of as good as they should be. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something that you referenced from the film. Actually, that some dogs just they have such a hard time with it as well. Returning to society, and you know, the dogs experience PTSD as well, and certainly that's referenced in the film, Max. And so, tell us a little bit about the bond that a soldier shares with a dog. I mean, that's and I think I hear a dog in the background right now too, right?
Yeah, well, I have four dogs. Two of them are work dogs, and then we always have a shelter dog, and yeah, they make a racket. So hopefully that's a good part of the show.
Yes, it is.
There's some authenticity. Yeah, you know, the thing about the relationship, you know, it's two things, really. One, it's the standard relationship that most people who love dogs or animals in general and take care of them. It's, you know, that care that you have for one another and, you know, your conscientious approach to making sure that the dog's taken care of and that they have what they need because they rely on us in that regard. But then the other part of it is the first time you are out walking around at night trying to hunt somebody bad down, and there's four or five dudes hiding in a ditch waiting to shoot you in the head, and the dog lets you know they're there before they get the chance to do that. Well, that creates a whole different kind of bond. That's the kind of bond that you know you're alive because of that dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know that without that dog, you and your buddies probably wouldn't be. And so that's a whole different kind of bond. So you kind of put those in the blender, mix them up, and it's super strong.
Yeah, definitely.
Really strong.
Definitely. And I think the one thing that Max also taught me is, you know, because I don't have a dog. I have a cat and a duck. And, you know, and I'm not in the military, but just seeing, you know, what these animals and these pets, they're our heroes. And the things that they do, I mean, it's just amazing. Don't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. They're far more capable and far more intelligent and than we would ever give them credit for. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what the public reaction is with the, you know, the movie and if it changes kind of the discussion, because, you know, there's great pictures and, you know, it's all kind of shallow stuff with regard to what they mean and how they contribute. Hopefully it's a, you know, the conversation gets elevated a little bit, how we can help them out, how we can take care of them, you know, that they need it, they deserve it, and we're safer in our communities because of them, for sure.
Definitely. And in fact, I mentioned this on last week's show, Kirsten Sinema, one of our congresswomen here in Arizona, she introduced the screening, the press screening that I attended for Max, and you know, just talked about what an important topic this was, and that she's also working to ensure that that soldiers can adopt the dogs upon their return. So that's another thing that we need to look into. But first and foremost, we need everyone to go out to, is it spikescaninefund.com, right?
That's .org.
.org, I'm sorry.
Organization. Yep, because I'm a 501c3, so I'm tax exempt. And
right.
Yeah, go check it out, spikescaninefund.org. And you know what? There are a lot of other organizations that are doing things, just different things. I think I'm the only one that's really doing what I'm doing, but there's a lot of other great organizations out there that are trying to take care of the dogs. And you know, it's interesting, and I don't want to, it's your show, but you know, the congresswoman has some really good legislation that she's trying to get through. I'm familiar with her. And, I think that it would be worth repeating that she's trying to make it the military obligated to, or at least provide the opportunity for the handler, who is probably alive because of the dog that they were with, and the dog to be reunited after the dog service is over. And how silly is it to everybody? I mean, to me, it's ridiculous that has to be a rule. Like, why wouldn't it be a rule? Why wouldn't it just be that way? You know, it's an interesting thing, and I'm glad that she's doing what she's doing, because it needs to be done for sure.
Yeah, we've had her on the show before, a fine congresswoman. And
she's a great speaker. I mean, standing up there, I mean,
yeah. And she's, you know, when we had her, it was about 4 years ago, I think. It was her first term, and she's not afraid. I mean, she will do what she wants to do, and you got to like that in a politician. So we'll try to get her on again to keep this issue at the forefront of people's minds so they can do something about it and contribute. So,
and I agree with Jimmy there that, you know, it sounds silly that, you know, that these men wouldn't be able, men and women wouldn't be able to, you know, adopt these dogs.
It's
after
crazy.
The fact.
And doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, so, but that's why it's important for people out there like Kirsten Sinema and Jimmy Hatch to make sure that everyone is aware of these things. So we commend you, Jimmy Hatch. Thank you very much for your service and for what you're doing, you know, for just everyone out there, you know, no matter how many feet they have.
Hey, well, thank you. And thank you guys again for the opportunity to talk about, you know, what I'm doing and talk about the dog. And I think hopefully this will help contribute to the conversation that's going to be created by the Canine Max movie. And if I could say just one more thing, sure. It is, if you're a regular person that just, you know, just one of the public that goes and sees the movie and think you want to adopt a Belgian Malinois because Max is cool, you should really not do that.
Yes.
They'll tear your house up.
Sure.
Very true. Totally. They're great dogs, but we don't want to get stuck in that situation where just because it's Easter, we all go out and get ourselves a rabbit.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, truthfully, the shelters will be full of those dogs. If people do that, they'll figure out really quickly that they're not a pet. They're very difficult. They're a handful only all the time, and they're like having a loaded gun with you all the time. So just be conscientious about it.
Great advice.
Thank you so much.
Retired Special Warfare Operator Jimmy Hatch. Thanks again. Everyone go to spikescaninefund.org.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Happy Independence Day.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Amazing. That's
you haven't seen the movie yet, but Dave, you got to go see that.
I will see that, definitely. And we do appreciate what he's doing.
Yes, and I cannot possibly hear of America the Beautiful by Ray Charles without thinking of fireworks, 4th of July, all that wonderful stuff. It is Breakthrough Entertainment's Independence Day special here on KPHX 1480, and I think after the break, someone's going to be back.
I'll be back?
I think so.
I sound like you, don't I? Yeah, and you're right, and we will take a quick break right now for Breakthrough Entertainment. Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Greg, and Eric. No names yet.
There's some cinemas in the city, too.
That's so inappropriate. America!
Yeah. I like her as a politician.
Come on,
well.
You guys settle down. I came back to scold you guys and to reconcile with young Joseph. We'll be right back. Till all success be.